This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once more. You know, today I'd like to ask a question, but before I do, I want to mention a few things. Many of you have heard me say before that this book, both Old and New Testament, is a Middle Eastern document. And if you're a regular listener of the Armor of God, you've also heard me say that this book, if you wanted to, you could distill it down to the story of being one man's family, Abraham, a man who took God at his word, and on the premise that God would make him a great nation, and through his seed all the peoples of the earth would be blessed, he left his family and followed God's instructions. And we've come to realize that much of this book is the history of that original nation of a bygone era, of which we live through and experience through the reading of this, the many events that they encountered in the development, the establishment, and then, of course, the captivities of those peoples. But we also know that when one combines the New Testament with the Old Testament, it goes beyond the nation of Israel. We're well aware of the fact that it extends well beyond the story of God working with one nation, with one group of people, and is now all-inclusive of all of mankind, and the unfolding story of how God is bringing carnal men, mortal men and women, into and bringing them through a program through the name of Jesus Christ that will ultimately result in them living as immortal beings in a different dimension for all eternity, having for themselves eternal life. An amazing, amazing story. And it is. It's broken out primarily into three segments. I already mentioned one, history, and religion, of course, theology, which is then secondly articulated in a lot of segments of principles of living and situation ethics. And then, of course, the third category, of which is prophetic, where I don't know whether or not many of you realize this, but that script is already written in here. As I've often said, Nostradamus has nothing over the Bible. If mankind, frankly, does not repent and accept Jesus Christ wholesale as their personal Savior, then the script is already written on how events are going to unfold in the future. Interestingly enough, prophecy is something that many people take a lot of interest in, but really don't understand. I want to take a little time today to talk about a few things that are happening around the world. I want to lay out some observations, if you will, but then I want to ask this question. I want to pose this to all of you today. But before I do, let me interrupt myself to present to you our two free offers. Both of them are free, and let me emphasize the fact that they are indeed free. They're two audio presentations, 1 hour long each. One is titled Prophetic Guidelines. The other one, Becoming a Better Watchman. Both are free of charge. All you've got to do is dial that telephone number at 888-578-8791 and ask the operator for both of these items. And again, they're both CDs, one-hour presentations, Prophetic Guidelines, and secondly, Becoming a Better Watchman. Don't forget that website, too, there at www.cgi.org. There's a lot of additional material there for you to consider, along with the fact of our webcasting feature. Every Saturday, we have a live presentation presented for your convenience there on our website. All you've got to do is go to the website, find out what time it is going to be presented and casted, and then you can go ahead and hopefully rendezvous at that time and watch a live presentation by a minister or deacon from the Church of God International presenting some subject from the Bible. Again, one more time now for these two free offers, 888-578-8791 is that phone number. And don't forget about that website at www.cgi.org. Now, let's get back to this program regarding this question that I want to ask all of you. But before I do, I want to bring your attention over here to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, very familiar book, I think, to many of us who have some awareness of the Bible and have been studying it for any length of time. It's a chapter pertaining to prophecies. There's a sister chapter in the book of Mark, chapter 13, and Luke, chapter 21, that are of similar description and that list similar items that Jesus is referencing here. And in chapter 24, I'm not going to read a whole lot here in respect to what Jesus lists, other than to bring your attention to the fact that he goes ahead and lays down a lot of things that, well, frankly, a lot of people say, Bill, we've had these going on for centuries, for millennia. We've always had earthquakes. There have always been famines and pestilence. I mean, think of the bubonic plague that wiped out so many millions there in Europe. There have been pandemics and epidemics of all different types and sorts, degrees of all different kinds of varieties of plagues, and even inclusive of wars upon wars and rumors of wars and fear that has been struck through the hearts of humankind for eons of time. Since Adam and Eve, you could make the case. And unfortunately, this kind of thinking, my friends, oftentimes leads to a sense of apathy. A sense of apathy that oftentimes translates into a spiritual blindness. Oh, yeah. To the point where occasionally you could have prophetic fulfillments going on all around you and not even recognize it. I'll give you a case in point. Many of the Christian churches, denominations, especially among Sabbath-keeping Christian organizations, those who keep Saturday for Sunday, for those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about, because many people think Sunday's the Sabbath, and Sunday's not the Sabbath of your Bible. Saturday is the Sabbath of your Bible that commences Friday on Friday night at sunset and goes all the way to sunset on Saturday. That is the Sabbath of your Bible. But that's another story. My point here is, though, that many in that community, as well as in some cases the Sunday-keeping Christian community, have completely overlooked and have been disconnected from the prophetic significance of the establishment of the nation of Israel over there in Palestine that commenced in 1948, I think it was. Today, we have an Israeli nation state that is very significant prophetically in your Bible in lieu of the fact that there are prophecies for the end times that claim, like it or not, I'm sorry to say this, but claim that they will be invaded again and taken captive again. We have events going on today that concern the European Union and the development of a United States of Europe, of which today is 27 nation states strong. Of course, it is going through some difficulty, but rightly so, because at some point, this European Union has to be pared down, because your Bible claims that there will only be 10 kings that will unite for a short time with this tyrant that the Bible labels a beast and a false prophet in those latter days that is going to have worldwide influence and leverage over the economies of the world and essentially take the world into this Babylonian system to where it will once again revisit a global, globe-girdling worldwide system that will become a one-world order, as many have already alluded to and are beginning, I think, to develop the notion. I think the fact that the euro is having issues and difficulties is also illustrative of the fact that the European Union is unsettled. It is going to go through some growing pains, and we haven't maybe even seen the end of this yet, especially with Spain and Italy and Greece all teetering and tipping in the area of so much debt and bankruptcy. And that's not to say that the United States of America as well is not going through its own difficulties and, of course, accelerated decline. I think it's becoming obvious that the United States of America is suffering from a vacuum of leadership. They no longer seem to be able to work anything out. As a matter of fact, you combine that with the cultural morass that the country, the United States, is going through, and it is apparent that these are a people that seem to have lost their way. And it has generated, rightly so, a growing movement, an accelerated movement of anti-Americanism, of which is giving emboldenment to the rise of emerging markets like China, North Korea, even the inclusion of Russia, which is now beginning to yawn and wake up out of its hibernation and once more become greater in its ability to get legs underneath itself and become an influential force in the geopolitical community. In general, evil is waxing worse, my friends. As a matter of fact, I find it very interesting how the world is lining up, don't you? It's almost supernatural, especially when you understand that the United States and Great Britain and many of its Commonwealth nations are all allied with the Jews. And it seems those three cultures are aligned to what is beginning to develop against the rest of the world. Because when you consider the Middle East, Iran specifically, continuing to pursue its nuclear ambitions and attempting to try to acquire weapon-grade uranium to manufacture bombs with hopes to deliver, of course, to some of the disturbing rhetoric that has been mentioned by its president to wipe out the great Satan, meaning the United States, as well as the little Satan, meaning the Jewish state, and run them into the Mediterranean Sea. It's hard not to believe that at some point in the future, we're not going to have additional problems upon us. And if you don't think, frankly, a nuclear-armed Middle East is going to change the play of field or the field of play, I mean, well, you just might as well then just keep your head in the sand. Because once Iran is able to obtain weapon-grade uranium, where everyone in the Middle East knows that they can not only produce bombs of that type and that level and magnitude, but deliver them to whom they choose, you will find individuals, states like Jordan and Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen, along with many others, that will be hurrying and scurrying around attempting to try to find, if they can, somebody they can buy nuclear bombs from and or develop their own programs. What I'm saying is we are in a whole new age. We are in a whole new set of circumstances, my friends. It's the time, the day and age of terrorism. It's a time, a day and age when any kind of mindless moron can send the world into a tipsy, turvy, kind of frenzied chaos. Doesn't even have to be a nation. It can be just a group of people that cause a worldwide calamity. Oh yeah, that's right. You know it as well as I do. And what's really mind-boggling, what is really mind-boggling about this, these trends have been with us for a very long time. Let me mention to you just a few of them to give you a reality check of how long we've been dealing with this. How about the Palestinian nationalist, Sirhan Sirhan, who in 1968 went ahead and assassinated Robert F. Kennedy while he was campaigning to be president over the issue of the fact that he didn't like Kennedy promising he would give 50 jet airplanes to Israel if he were elected president. Or the 1972 Munich Olympics when those Jews were massacred by the group called the Black September, another Palestinian group, and attempted to go ahead and make their presence known at that particular event, which, by the way, set off a tremendous amount of anger and repercussions from the Jews toward that organization. Or 1979, when the U.S. Embassy was overrun by Iranian students and the Ayatollah Khomeini and so forth went ahead and instituted its authority on that nation to prevent the Shah of Iran of returning. Or the 1983, do you remember this? The U.S. Marine barrack over there in Beirut that was blown up? Or how about the 1985 cruise ship, the Ankili Laro, which was hijacked, and old Mr. Klingerhoffer, remember him? The little old man, 70 years old, who was shot twice while he was sitting in his wheelchair and then dumped like a piece of meat into the ocean? Oh yeah, that too was all done by these particular Middle Eastern nationalists. And of course, many of us, I hope we haven't forgotten the 1986 Operation El Dorado. You remember that one? That was conducted by President Ronald Reagan, which commenced with the bombing of Tripoli and essentially causing Omar Gaddafi to kind of hide in his tent. I think he even was injured, some reports had, due to the fact that Libya admitted to bombing a Berlin nightclub over there in Germany. Or how about the 1988 PAM Flight 103? You remember that, where 270 people approximately were killed, and then things begin to ramp up a few years later, and we find ourselves pushing the Iraqis out of Kuwait in the 1990s there. Remember when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait to attempt to take control, and that generated the ensuing repercussions that the United States of America involved themselves with by attacking Iraq in Kuwait? Remember Desert Storm? That was what we called it. And how about the 1993? Oh yeah, the 1993 World Trade bombing. You remember that one? When the blind sheik went ahead and put a truck underneath the basement of, I think it was the North Tower, hoping to cause the North Tower to tumble into the South Tower to bring them both down. And then, of course, 1998, I don't know how many of you forgot about this, the U.S. embassies again in Kenya and Tanzania that were bombed. And then, of course, the USS Cole. Many of us know that that preceded the ultimate whack that occurred there in 2001 when four airliners in the air, two of them hitting the trade towers, bringing them down finally, another one hitting the Pentagon, and a fourth by a handful of very heroic passengers drove that plane down into the ground in a remote field in Pennsylvania. And it continues today, my friends, since that happened, with over 10,000 terrorist attacks and well over 100,000 people who are dead, while this ongoing unrest and revolution, car bombings and regime changeovers or overthrows of longtime Mideast leaders continues. One thing all of these things have in common. Do you know what it is? It is Middle Eastern nationalists that in many respects are bought into Muslim jihadism and attempting to pursue and follow through with taking down the United States of America and the Jews. It's an amazing, amazing realization that I think all of us need to understand we are surrounded by. This is the reality that we are contending with and confronting. Now, don't get me wrong, and let me qualify myself. I'm not down on Middle Eastern people. I'm not down on the Muslim religion. Don't take me out of context. Don't take me wrong. I'm just stating a simple observation. what I'm asking you to do now, because I'd like to ask this question that I've been mentioning to you all along that I'd like to ask you. And here it is. Could we finally be seeing the beginning of the emergence and genesis of what will become, prophetically, the King of the South? I want you to read that again. It's up there on the screen for you. Read it. Are we finally seeing the beginning of this manifestation, this coalescing of the King of the South? Now, if you ask me, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Time will tell, and time will prove whether or not what we are experiencing presently is going to ramp up and become greater in its intensity. But what I do know, and I want to turn your attention over here to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. In the book of Daniel, and in chapter 11, we have a set of circumstances mentioned here by the prophet, who illustrates very clearly for us that there will be a king of the north and there will be a king of the south in the end times. In other words, a pattern will be repeated. A pattern will repeat itself, the pattern being that of going back to Alexander the Great, when the Seleucids of his generals, one of his four generals that divided his kingdom into four parts, but the Seleucids becoming the king of the north, fighting the other generals, Ptolemy, the king of the south, of which Egypt was represented by. That pattern of which Syria, the king of the north, the Seleucids, morphed into Rome and became a resurrected Babylonian Greco-Roman empire is destined to occur again and copycat the same footprint, according to your Bible, in the near future, and of which is described to be made up of 10 kings pooling their power together with a tyrant called the Beast and a false prophet, and will become worldwide in its influence and in its leverage and in its ability to benefit the rest of the world. You can read about the story when you read its downfall in Revelation 18 on how influential this beast power becomes and how it does engulf and encompass the whole world. But there will be, as your Bible portrays, a king of the south. And Daniel articulates this for us. I'm not making this up. Notice here in verse 40 of Daniel 11. And at the time of the end shall a king of the south. Did you hear what I said? At the time of the end. This is part of the script that I was telling you about at the outset of the program. At the time of the end. Here it is. Notice. Shall the king of the south push at him? Push at who? And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships. He shall enter into and the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. So what you have is this king of the south pushes at the king of the north some way, cuts off oil, maybe does something else, terrorist attack, I don't know. But this king of the south pushes at the king of the north, makes him mad. He comes down in a blitzkrieg fashion, and not only overthrows many nations, but moves into the Holy Land, the glorious. He's going to invade Palestine. That's what you're reading here. Unlike what a Sunday preacher I heard on television, Sunday television the other week, a few weeks back, as a matter of fact, who claimed that when Israel is surrounded by armies, God is going to bring an angel and burn up all those armies. He never did mention a scripture, by the way. My Bible says those armies are going to invade the Middle East. And my Bible talks about the Jewish people going back into captivity in the end times. And there was no Jewish nation. until 1948. Therein lies the significance of the fact we've got a Jewish nation so that the script can be fulfilled. You have to connect the dots. Prophecy all around you is beginning to be fulfilled, you see. So here you have not this only this king of the north invading the Middle East and the Holy Land included, but these shall escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon. This is Turkey and Jordan. He shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall not escape the land of Egypt. This king of the north is going to invade Egypt and take Egypt over. He's also going to have the power of the treasures of gold and silver over the precious things of Egypt. Libya, Ethiopia. This is what your Bible is saying. I'm not making these things up. Your Bible is mentioning to you and to me the end time scenario that will play out will be as such. Unless the world repents and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we are going through this. My friends, there are some major shakeups up ahead. We've got three major wars listed in the book of Revelation that need to be emphasized too. But unfortunately, time is running out on me today. This is why you need to get both of these other offers that we're offering, which are 2 one-hour presentations that are titled The Prophetic Guidelines Presentation and How to Be a Better Watchman. Both of these will go into far more detail that I've been unable to touch on in this short half-hour presentation. Go ahead, dial now. I can't emphasize enough. You need to learn how to become a better watchman so that you can plug into these things. You need to better understand proper guidelines toward prophetic scenarios so that you don't get shook up when some people say things like the world's going to end and you should know better and not get upset over these things, my friends. Dial 888-578-8791. Hit that website at www.cgi.org. And my friends, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. Consider what Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 25 there when he talks about the 10 virgins. He talks about the 10 virgins there and he leaves his listeners with that particular situation in mind with this statement. And he says here very clearly, watch therefore. That means be vigilant. Don't sleep at the switch. Keep in tune. Plug in. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. That's why you need to get your life right with Jesus Christ today.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.